Thank you for listening to Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. At Crossroads, our mission is to be the church. By sharing and showing the love of Christ and inviting others to be recipients of Christ's love. Now here is this week's message from Pastor Floyd Hughes.
Sorry, I got caught up in the quiz because I got one of them wrong and I'm like, wait, what? And so I had to wait for the next one to kind of make me feel good, redeem myself. But again, welcome to our Sunday celebration where we love celebrating Jesus. I am Pastor Floyd, and this morning we are continuing in the book of Obadiah, where God is going to make it crystal clear how he feels about the way that we as Christians are to treat other people, even our enemies. He tells us how to treat the people we love, how to treat the people we don't love. And he does this during like a historic event that we're going to take a look at. So although we're in the book of Obadiah, and if you want to turn there, you can open your Bible now and turn to the book of Obadiah. I'm going to show you what happened in 586 BC to the people of Israel, because this is the event that God is going to be talking to the Edomites about. So bear with me, a little bit of historical context. Bear with me for a minute. So in the book of 2 Chronicles, this is about the fall of the nation of Israel, specifically the city of Jerusalem. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, this is what it says. The Lord, the God of their ancestors, meaning the Israelites. Wow, what just happened to the... There we go. Sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. And this is nothing new. This is the same thing we see today. When we go to tell people, you know, about the morality of God or the word of God, they mock us, they scoff at his word, they despise anything that we say. But then God sent his prophets over and over and over again to the people until he had no other remedy. And then it says this, he, meaning God, brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and did not spare young men or young women, the elderly or the infirmed. God gave them all into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. So when the Babylonians came in, God said, hey, I keep sending people to you, because you're supposed to be the people of God, saying, hey, here's how you're supposed to treat others. Here's how you're supposed to do this. Here's how you're supposed to do that. And they kept saying, nope, we want to do it our way. And God said, fine, you want nothing to do with me. I'm going to step back and let the Babylonians come in. And they came in and they killed all the soldiers. They took all of the young men, the old men, the young women, the old women, everybody, the sick and whatever. They took them over into captivity in Babylon. They left only the sickest of the sick, those people who couldn't travel, those people who couldn't make it, because they carried them in chains, not in like cars or whatever, in chains, a long walk, however many hundreds of miles that is, from Jerusalem into Babylon. And then it says, he, Nebuchadnezzar, carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the kings and of his officials. Remember, this was a wealthy nation. Inside their temple, the walls were lined with gold. All of the vessels and things they used in worshiping God were like gold and silver and bronze and precious metals. So they came in and stripped all of that. They set fire to God's temple, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all the palaces, and destroyed everything of value there. This is the setting of what happened to the Israelites. Here's the thing. Over here was the nation of Edom, the Edomites, who saw all of this take place. And the whole reason that God sends Obadiah to say, hey, I'm angry at the nation of Edom, is because of what we are about to read and the way that they reacted to this, and a lesson for us and how we should and should not act. So in Obadiah, verse 10, this is what it says. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, Jacob meaning the Israelites, the nation of Israel, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. Now, we're about to look at what that violence is, right? And how it impacts us. But I want to highlight something for you. If you look up that word, violence, because everyone has a different opinion of what violence is. Some people are like, oh, it's only violence if I hit you. Some people are like, oh, it's violence if I spit on you or kick you or whatever. Here's what God considers violence, right? So when you look up the Hebrew for that word, I don't know if you can see this, for that phrase violence, right? When you look this up in the original Hebrew, this isn't my interpretation, in the original Hebrew, the word, and this is not a political statement at all, the word that's used for violence in Hebrew is the word Hamas. That's where that word comes from. That's what the word means, Hamas. And what it means, the definition of it is damage, which is physical. Today we would say probably mental and emotional damage, but intentional injustice and cruelty to someone. If you are intentionally cruel to someone, we may say, well, I wasn't violent. God says, yeah, you were. If we are intentionally treating someone in an unjust way, we may say, well, that's not violence. God says, yeah, that is. And we're about to see what they did. And I guarantee you're going to look at this and say, hey, maybe that wasn't violence, but it bordered on definitely intentional injustice and cruelty. And here's the thing. The only reason we're looking at this is because we have to ask ourselves, is that the way that we should treat other people? Even those who we would consider our enemies, because Edom, the nation of Edom, nation of Israelites, did not consider themselves to be like brothers in Christ, right? And we looked at, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, where even when they just wanted to, hey, we just want to walk through your land, and Edom was like, if you set a foot in our land, we're going to come after you with swords. Right? So this is what God considered violence. So back in the book of Obadiah, it says, because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you'll be covered with shame, you will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof, while strangers carried off his wealth, his meaning Israel, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. So God looks and said, hey, the things that you did, even though God was like, hey, I'm the one who brought and allowed the nation of Babylon to come in and overtake them because of their sin, God looked at Edom and said, hey, your actions and reaction towards them is also false. Because they looked at him and he said, don't gloat. They were like, yeah, get him, Babylon, go. Give him another one. Hit them again. They were rejoicing that the nation fell, like literally dancing in the streets and celebrating. And they were boasting about it. Like, you deserve that. It's about time somebody brought that nation down. And God said, no, that's not the way you're supposed to act. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Bible, God calls us to an entirely different standard because he specifically says in the book of Proverbs, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disprove and turn his wrath away from them, which is exactly what happened. God's wrath was being poured out on Israel because of their sin, but then Edom started rejoicing and gloating and doing all these things. So God sent Obadiah to say, hey, now my wrath is kindled against you. And it's because of the way that you treated them and gloated over them. And here's the thing, you cannot make this up. We're supposed to humble ourselves, but it gets worse. They didn't just gloat over them, right? When you look in the Bible, there's this thing called the one another's. You can Google it right now if you want to. Verses that specifically say how Christians should treat one another. And when you look at how we're supposed to treat one another, it doesn't say gloat. It doesn't say look at and laugh when they fall. It actually says that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. There are, I think it's 59 verses in the one another, some that say how to serve one another, how to love one another. But this is my favorite one from Galatians, because it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, that means any sin or any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, meaning those of us who are filled with the Spirit of God, not that we're better than them, but if we call ourselves Christians, then we should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And then it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we see a brother or a sister or a friend or a family who's hurting, we're not supposed to gloat and be like, oh, thank God, you deserve it. That's what you deserve. It says that we're supposed to come alongside and say, hey, how can I help you through this struggle? And it says that you fulfill the law of Christ. And we've talked about that over and over, because the law of Christ is what Jesus told his disciples. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Not like the world loves people. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the way that we're supposed to interact with other people. But I want to put this up in the complete Jewish Bible version, because this is the way, if they were reading it in their day, how they would have understood it. And that says this, brothers, suppose someone is caught doing something wrong. You who have the Spirit should set him right, but in a spirit of humility. We're supposed to humble ourselves. Not supposed to exalt ourselves, but humble ourselves as we seek to help them. Now, here's the thing. Jump back to Obadiah. It says you shouldn't gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. Here's the next thing, because this is also what they did. They didn't just gloat. They didn't just rejoice. They weren't just singing in the streets. God said, you should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. So they weren't just standing by saying, oh, that's great. It's about time somebody brought you down. You're getting what you deserve. As the people were being dragged out, they were going in and saying, what can I take? What did they leave? What can we salvage from? Imagine, let me put it in perspective. Imagine, because this is the way churches are. Imagine there's a church in our community that closes its doors. And instead of us saying, oh, that's so hard for the body of Christ, we're over here dancing, we're clapping, we're rejoicing, we're like, good, it's about time somebody shut down those fake church gangsters. And then we go into the building and like, hey, this will look good in our building. And we start picking through the leftover stuff. Not only does God see that, but the rest of the world sees that. And that's a reflection of God. The rest of the world will look and say, is that how the church is today? Like they're happy when I thought they all served the same God. Is that how the church is today? Like they go in and like pick through their stuff. Is that how the church is today? That all the posts that we see coming from Crossroads are, thank God they shut it down. They should have shut it down sooner. Thank God that they're gone. When can we go get their stuff? That's not God honoring. But that's what they were doing. And even though it may seem minor to us, to God, that's violence. That's intentional injustice, intentional cruelty, intentional mistreatment of people that we shouldn't be going through, especially if we call ourselves the people of God. But here's the thing, it gets worse. It gets worse. So it says, you should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster, but you should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. So the people of Edom weren't just standing by saying, it's about time somebody brought the nation of Israel down. As the Babylonians were taking them away, they were like, hey, you forgot Joe over here. Joe is getting away. Make sure you get him. And if they didn't hear him, they were like, that's okay. We'll take care of Joe on our own. We'll make sure Joe doesn't get away. They were finding stragglers, and they were like, hey, bringing them and saying, hey, you forgot a couple. Does that sound like something the people of God are supposed to do? Imagine, again, if, you know, congregation closes, and not only do we rejoice, not only do we celebrate, not only do we go in and get their stuff, but imagine if they showed up here on a Sunday, some of the people were like, our church is closed, can we come to your church? And we're like, no, no, I'm happy you don't have a place to go. Let the doorknob hit you where the good Lord splits you. See ya. How many people think that's the way that the people of God are supposed to act? Because it's not. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not how we're supposed to treat people. In fact, God calls us to a much higher standard, even though many may think, you know what, it doesn't seem that harsh, and they may have deserved it. God says, hey, bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse them. So even the people that are mean to us, even the people that talk about us, even the people that spend all day posting mean things about us, when we see them go through stuff, we don't get to treat them like that. Not because we're better people than they are, but because that's what God calls us to. And this is what Jesus says about it. And I love this. In the book of Luke, which I think we're going to start in December, we're going to start walking through the book of Luke. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, this is Jesus talking. And he's saying it to anyone who can hear him. And he's saying it to anyone who can hear us today. Anyone who can understand the words coming out of our mouth. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Let me read that again, because Jesus didn't stutter. He said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. That's a hard thing to do. So the people that right now are sitting online saying mean things about us because of the church we go to, mean things about us because we're their neighbors and they don't like us, mean things about us because we did something and didn't invite them or whatever. All those people who are cursing us, persecuting us, talking bad about us, we're supposed to love them. And here's why. This is what he says. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you, even sinners, to do that? It's not that we're better than, but we're supposed to be different than the world, not because we're better than other people, but because of the God in us. And here's the reality. It takes the love of Christ to do that. We don't wake up in the morning and when people mistreat us, think, you know what? I'm just going to love them from a distance. I'm just going to pray for them. I'm just going to bless them. We immediately start thinking, oh, really? Because how am I going to get back at you? It takes the love of Christ to do that. That's what separates Christians from the world. Because we don't treat people the way they treat us. We treat people the way that God treats us. And the way that God treats us is with love and with mercy and with grace. And Jesus even finishes, he says this, he says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get any back. Then your reward will be great and you'll be children of the Most High. Here's why, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. We're supposed to be merciful just because our Father in heaven is merciful. It's not about we're able to be merciful because we're better than, because we are this denomination, because we are holier than thou. We're supposed to treat people the way that God treated us. And the Bible tells us that when we were enemies of Christ, when we were people whom God should have come after, just like Ed, he sent his son to die for us, because of his love for us. So God showed us mercy instead of giving us the wrath of God, which is what our sins deserved. And now, when we're in that position and people sin against us, people talk bad about us, people mistreat us, people hate on us, people are gossiping about us, co-workers are talking bad about us. I just saw this post this morning where there was a woman who said, hey, I don't know how to deal with this. People in my church were talking bad about me, and it got caught on the Ring camera. And she's like, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, just love them, because nothing that you do is going to change them. Nothing that you're going to do is going to make them be something other than they are. But if you are a Holy Spirit-filled child of the Most High, child of God, then just love them. That may mean I'm not going to associate with them anymore. And here's the thing. I have to make this distinction, because many people think, hey, if I am going to love my enemies like that, that means I have to be a doormat. That means I got to let people walk all over me. That means I got to stand there while people are mean to me and mistreat me. That's not what that's saying, because I don't know if you've heard this phrase, but some of us are from the south side of heaven and we don't take that. We're not going to sit there and let people talk about us or whatever. But it does mean, you know what? I'm just not going to associate with you anymore, because you don't deserve my time. I'm not going to spend time with people who aren't going to, especially people who claim to be Christians. And there's a lot of churches where there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, and all they do is demean, ridicule, mock, and hate on anyone who doesn't look like them, think like them, or vote like them. That's not what we're called to. What we're called to is, regardless of how you look, regardless of how you think, regardless of how you vote, I'm going to show you the same love and grace and mercy that God showed to me when I absolutely did not deserve it. And I hear people try to justify it all the time. Well, I don't have to like them, and I'll love them as long as they don't do this. Do you see any conditional things like, show them mercy and love your enemy unless they do this? Show them mercy and love your enemy unless they vote like this. Show them mercy and love your enemy unless they look like this. No, because God didn't put those conditions on us. Every single sin you can imagine known to mankind that humanity has done, and God is willing to forgive us. We may have to deal with the consequences of our earthly sin, but Jesus Christ took the consequences for our spiritual sin. He paid those penalties, and he paid that price on the cross so that we didn't have to. So when we come across people who mistreat us, who hate us, who ridicule us, who talk bad about us, we don't get to gloat when they have problems. We don't get to rejoice in their misery. We don't get to stand up and do a happy dance when we see them fall. Instead, we get to be the church to them and show them the love of Christ. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand, and we're going to close with a time of prayer, because I feel like there are, I am not calling out anyone here by name or any denomination or any church or anything, but you don't have to raise your hand. We all know of, there's some churches where there are some mean-spirited people. We've all seen it. Some of us have been a part of them. I know I have been a part of churches where just people were downright on, not here, no one here, because everyone's looking like, when did we do that? Not here, none of us. But downright ornery and mean-spirited. And I'm like, how in the world is that? Can you call yourself Christians when you treat other people like that? So I'm going to ask you guys to bow your head. God, we lift up your people. We lift up your church. We lift up the Holy Spirit-filled people of God called by your name. And we pray that we would be the people who you called us to be. We would be the ones who treat people differently than the world. We would be the ones who love people when they are at their most unlovable. We would be the ones who show grace when people won't show them grace. We would be the ones who show mercy when all everyone else shows them is wrath. But we also pray, Lord, that we don't be doormats, that we don't let people walk all over us. We don't tolerate sin in any way, shape, or form, that we speak out against it and stand up for your righteousness, but do it in a way that reflects your holiness, your grace, and your mercy, and your love. We pray that we can show the world a better way forward, than what we are seeing now, where people are divided and angry and going after one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.